It's the most wonderful time of the year. Everybody hearing that song on 99.9 right now? I am about 10 times a day. You know, it is the most wonderful time of the year unless you were Joseph. One of the phrases I use a lot of times with you is, what is that?
Check your mic.
Check my mic. I am on.
You're on.
Yeah. I'm going to pick up this handheld just in case.
Okay, we're good.
Everybody's good. But what about the online folk?
They will let us know
shortly, I promise. Yes. Do you think? That's one thing about us. We will let people know what we think quickly, won't we? Yes, we will. Anyway, one of the phrases you'll hear me use quite often is be careful not to over-spiritualize. And by that I mean, I heard a wonderful sermon once that each of the four legs of the donkey stood for hope, grace, or hope, peace, love, and joy. And each step the donkey took was one more step closer. I'm like, the donkey? It helps sometimes to look at your Bible in a human perspective and try to set aside all of the things you think you know that you might discover what God wants you to know. And your first slide up today reflects hope, expecting goodness. I think we have lost our sense of expecting in many ways in our world today. I don't know if anyone in here is old enough to remember when someone found themselves to be expecting with child, having a baby, whatever phrase was culturally appropriate in your day and time. Does anybody here remember the day when you did not know what you were having or exactly when you were having it? You know, today you can schedule the day and you can almost schedule the hour. And with sonograms, you can come awfully close to getting a full-color picture of your baby before it's born. But some of you remember when you didn't have a clue what that child would look like, if it would be a boy or a girl, and that's why they called it expecting, because you were expecting a surprise. You knew it was coming, but you didn't have a clue. Much like some of our lives on Christmas morning, we expect a surprise, but we're not always sure what they are. Now, some of you, and men, this is where we scold you a bit, because I don't go shopping. I just give money, I give cards, I give checks, I just tell her to go buy stuff. We got to get over ourselves, but guys, because there was a day, and it still exists today, where there is something magnificent about being surprised. Some of us have become so orderly, so compulsive, so controlling, that we expect to get what we want. If you, the next slide shows you, you will often find exactly what you're looking for. And that's not our best place to live. Joseph's dream. This text comes from Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. And the story begins, as the slide says. Mary is engaged to Joseph. It's before they are married. Makes sense. She became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the big oops, isn't it? Talk about a conspiracy theory. Can you imagine the buzz in this little town? Can you imagine the talk amongst the folk? Oh my! You can almost hear Joseph and Mary uttering expletive after expletive after expletive. You did what? In this day, while not common as in previous decades and generations, in this day, this was a stoning offense. If you have watched the news in the last few years, there are still parts of this world where stoning still takes place. This was a stoning offense. Mary could have been drugged before the town, and everybody would have thrown rocks at her. It was also a day and a time where Mary would not be wanted by anyone else. If Joseph did not marry her, she would be destined to the refuge pile. One of the reasons your gospel takes such a hard line on men and divorce in this period of time is that a divorced woman was often cast outside the city. And one of the first definitions of hell was Gehenna, which meant the trash pile outside the city. And the Bible often talks about taking care of the widows, the orphans, and the aliens, because they were the ones who were so unacceptable that they were put outside near Gehenna, near the trash pile, so they could forage and rummage for stuff. Joseph is now a laughingstock. People are laughing because Mary's supposed to be his, and he's saying this isn't his doing. Mary is marked forever. The people. This is one of the few instances in life today where we still go back to King James, and we say, you know, she had a baby out of wedlock. Do any of you use wedlock on a daily basis? Yes. Oh, are you wedlocked to him? Yeah. Does that sound creepy, if not sexist, at the very least? Oh, wonderful! Your daughter's planning to enter wedlock. Today in the church, this is one of the few places where we go back to King James and love that phrase. Throw them both out. I knew a young couple at one of my appointments. They were not members of my church, but we had met through the volunteer fire department. And they had sat down with me one afternoon, and they had been what was called churched in the old day. They had been brought before the church council because she had become pregnant. They were not married, and the church as a whole, they didn't know why they were being brought up, but they were escorted to the altar and publicly removed from the rolls. This took place between 2012 and 2016. Poor Joseph. Really? Poor Joseph? Holy Spirit. Ha, ha. Can't you hear the people laughing when Joseph says, no, no, but it's God's doing. Try to sell that one. Come in, and all the cookies are gone. Can you hear you going, well, it was the Holy Spirit. We had this casserole dish, and if it filled with food, it would feed all six of us in our home. That was the benchmark. If it went in that dish, we all six could eat it. Stephanie had made bean dip, this 3 or 4 layer thing, you know, it's got sour cream and beans and meat and cheese and all the stuff. We were going to have a little feast after football that evening. Philip got home before us, ate it all. Not only was that rude, but it also had adverse effects. Bean dip for six. Yeah. Bean dip for six. But Stephanie, it was the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening here. It is the ultimate conspiracy theory. And if you're looking just in pure human terms, I want you to place Joseph and Mary right in front of you. You may need to go back a few decades to remember what they might have gone through, but it still happens today. The text goes on to tell us that Joseph, her husband, and once you were engaged, you were referred to as the husband. It was not just, I don't want to get married to you. There was documents, okay? Prices had been paid. This had been set up. An engagement and a wedding lasted a year of preparation and celebration. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. He didn't want to humiliate Mary, so he decided to call off the engagement quietly. Ladies, doesn't that sound like a man plan? Let's just make this go away. Now, you've already heard me talk about what happens in the life of a female when she's found in this position. So the man plan is, I'll just break the engagement quietly. Any of you remember the day when a young lady went off to stay with an aunt and came home with a child and nobody knew where it came from? There may be a couple of you out there that remember those days. I'll just call this thing off, and I'll go on with my life. And Mary, she can go see Elizabeth or someone else. Over time, I'm sure they'll forget. It was about 2019. The church I served in Monroeville, we painted our sanctuary. We took it from yellow to a lovely shade of bluish gray, very similar to what you've done here. It was magnificent. Nobody came in to complain that we had changed the color from yellow to a magnificent shade of bluish gray. But I had people who came in to complain that 35 years ago we painted over, and men, this is what you say, good wood. I don't care if your paneling's been up since the 50s. If it's good wood, you don't paint it. Do you think these people were going to forget in time? I don't think so. So here's where the plot begins to take a twist, from a simple conspiracy to a well-contrived man plan. Joseph is thinking about this. How am I going to fix this? You controllers and worriers understand that, because your life goal is to fix this stuff. An angel appears to him in a dream, so Joseph has fallen asleep in his thoughts. An angel appears in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Take Mary to be your wife. The child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit." This makes no sense. But Joseph, do it anyway. Don't be afraid is one of the most often quoted phrases it is the most repeated phrase in our Bible. There must be something to human nature about being afraid. Now, you ought to be afraid of snakes. Stay away from them. Stay away from snakes. I have ridden over a lot of snakes riding my bike and stuff, but not too long ago, I rode over one in my recumbent trike. Anybody knows a recumbent trike sits about 8 inches off the ground? Do you know how close you are to a snake when you roll over him with a thing? I'm scared. Don't like them. There are things you should be afraid of. But the things we humans are often most afraid of are change, of transition. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Marry this girl. I've got this kid. Marry this girl. Oh, sure, they're going to talk. They won't believe. They'll be humans. They won't understand. Some of you know who have made mistakes in your life that 20, 30, 40 years later, somebody will remind you. God is asking these kids, as the next slide says, to expect to be surprised. This is something as a church, as a Christian community as a whole, and you as individuals must rediscover, to expect to be surprised at what God is going to do next. Everything about this story is wrong. Everything about this story says, run, Joseph, run hard and fast. Don't ruin your life. Dump the girl. Get on. Everything about this story is wrong. But the angel is asking Joseph to let go of that and to expect to be surprised, to wonder about what happens next, to know that whatever takes place next is beyond anything you could expect, dream, or wonder about. And so we have all got together to thoroughly and wholeheartedly resist any change that comes about in the church. We must rediscover our desire to be surprised. My friends, I highlight a book for you today. It's about that thick. I don't know if you can see that. I can't see you real well. It's probably a quarter of an inch thick. It's by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's God is Still in the Manger. Let me read a little paragraph from this book. God travels in wonderful ways with human beings. He does not comply to their views or the opinions of the people. God does not go the way that people want to prescribe for him. Rather, God's way is beyond all comprehension, free and self-determined and beyond proof. Where reason is indignant, where nature rebels, where our piety anxiously keeps us away, that is exactly and precisely where God loves to be. There he confounds the reason of the reasonable. There he aggravates our nature, our piety, and that is where he wants to be. And no one can keep God from it. For you see, only the humble can believe and rejoice that God is so free and so marvelous that he does wonders where people despair, that he takes life little and lowly and makes it marvelous. And that is the wonder of all wonders, that God loves the lowly. God is not ashamed of the lowliness of human beings. God marches right in. He chooses people as his instruments and performs his wonders where one would least expect them. God is near to lowliness, and he loves the lost, the neglected, the unseemly, the excluded, the weak, and the broken. And we, as the body of Christ, wholeheartedly, passionately, and reasonably resist change. And our expectations tend to be to expect exactly what we found the week prior. And God goes the other way. The text tells us, she will give birth to a son. Joseph, I want you to call his name Jesus. He will save his people from his sin. For Joseph is not choosing to do away with his man plan alone, but he is choosing to envelop a God-sized plan. Here comes the son. I thought of the Beatles song. Here comes, well, I can't say it now. Dee 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 dee, it's all right. God is saying, Joseph, I've still got this. This is bigger than you both. You are acting for an audience of one. Loving people will find you and marry Joseph. They will care for you and they will love you. You are bringing out the greatest hope for people, the most outstanding redemption, and starting the world's most never-ending change. For Jesus was all about changing the world and those in the world. Your next side says, we must believe that God has promised to see us through, and that God will never fail. That God will never fail. That's the other part. To rediscover our hope of expecting to be surprised and then believing with all of our heart that God has this. So many of us live in shame for things we have done, for things that have been done to us, for things we have caused. Some of you know what it's like to wake up in the night, to flash back to a period in time. I know I do. And the voice to Joseph rings true. Don't be afraid. I've got this. And then, all of this has taken place, the text says, so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be filled. Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. In other sermons, you've heard me say in the Greek text, it can also be translated God in us. God takes us from a conspiracy theory, helps us to delete our man plan, to take a look with hope at a God-sized plan, and then to place that hope in a very real promise. Bonhoeffer's book, again, on the wall for you is a quote, God is in the manger, a prison cell, which waits and hopes, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door to freedom has opened only from the outside, is not a bad definition of Advent. Bonhoeffer writes this particular quote from a prison cell, as he has been taken by the Nazis in World War II. He will choose to die in that period of time. But the acknowledgement that what Joseph is hearing is that the door to hope and to joy and to peace and to love can only be opened from the outside, says Joseph, there is nothing you can do to fix this. There is nothing you can do to make this happen. There is no ability for you to be in control of this situation. All you can do is let go. Well, dang, that's hard for us, isn't it? Your last slide. Joseph woke up. He did as the angel commanded, and he married this young lady. There's a lot of theories. The likelihood that Mary could have been as young as 14 is very real. There have been other theories that Joseph could have been an old man trying to explain the virgin birth. Theologically, we have placed all our focus on the virgin birth. Do you, don't you believe it? It's in our creed. But what if we have spiritually taken a sidestep and missed the fact that you will find moments, events, and things that you will do or have done to you to where you need to hear the voice of the angel said, expect me to surprise you. In all of the outcome that you see playing out in your situation, expect me to surprise you. And then believe and wake up and let it go. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.